would like to welcome you. I am really pleased about this class and the content of what we're doing, and hoping that it is serving people. And I think that what I would like to start with is to hear from a couple of people if you have had any opportunity to use what we've studied so far, if you have any questions or comments about the material that we covered in the previous two sessions.
I had actually two experiences in the past week where I had conversations with two people that I work with who were quite upset about various things in my organization. And it was very helpful for me to recall some of the things that you said about looking at what my needs are, but also what their needs are, and trying to specific and to the present moment. Those things really, really helped me a lot in dealing with what was very uncomfortable and surprising conversation for me. It was unexpected.
Thank you. I'm grateful to hear that, and hoping that we will continue to build on that today. I want to move to the material for this week, which is assuming that we've already done the work of creating the intention for giving feedback and the gift of it, how we can actually do the feedback. And towards that end, I provided a handout, which I was just chagrined to see word sometimes plays tricks. I created it in one file and moved it to another, and I just now see that it renumbered a lot of things. And so I'm really sad about that, because it might result in some confusion. But let's try to work with it and see how it works. What I would like to do is to set up a role play, very slow motion coached role play, in which one of you will be giving feedback that is real for you to give to someone, and someone else will play the role of the person receiving the feedback, so that we can really walk through all of these steps and explore them and take questions and really get to the bottom of why I recommend what I recommend and what happens when you try to practice it. So I am wondering if there's anyone who is happy to play in this way. If not, then we will construct an imaginary one. It also, if you have a situation, it doesn't mean that you have to be the one playing it. I just want to see, for starters, if we have somebody ready to play with their own situation, and otherwise we'll come up with something else. Is there anyone who's willing to support the group and learn at the same time?
I do have one, and this is with work. I oversee various collections, archival collections, which are stored in various rooms, and I'm responsible for those. What had happened is that a coworker had been told by one of the managers to do some work with parts of this collection, one of the collections. I did not know anything about this. And one day I came into the space and saw that she was going through a number of things and beginning this project without having told me anything about it. And I very much wanted to give her feedback about that, even though the manager had asked that she do it, since I was responsible for it, I still needed to be informed of it.
Great. This is simple enough, and I am imagining that it had significance to you, and it's also not like super high stakes. That's perfect. So here is how I would like to set it up. What I would like to do is to talk about each of the steps of doing the feedback, and then divide the group into small groups for people to explore with each other how you might do that step. Even though it's not your situation, it doesn't matter. That's why I like it, that it's simple enough. And then we come back and either you or somebody else tries out whatever they came up with. And then someone else or I, actually it would be nicest if I am the other person, because I can then offer immediate response as to how the expression reaches me or not. That's my proposal for what we will do for a while. One of the nice things about this being relatively low stakes is that the piece that we worked with last time, which is about mastering the intention, coming to the place of intention to contribute to the smooth functioning of the whole rather than to dump on the other person or just want to be heard, I'm imagining that you can kind of like do it internally, you and everyone else on the call, with ease without having to work hard. Okay, this is something that came up in the very first call that we did, where it is essential, if you want to give feedback, to secure the willingness of the person receiving it. It's lovely that you have this example because it illustrates the distinction that what happens when you are in a relationship in which it is customary for you to give feedback and when you are in a relationship in which you don't. It's very easy if you were a boss and this person was reporting to you, then it would be easy to assume that it's just okay to give the feedback any old time. The fact that the relationship is not one of reporting highlights that, of course, you would want to have her willingness to hear from you. My suggestion is that even when there is a formal relationship in which feedback is part of what we understand the relationship to be about, like, for example, in most places, bosses give performance review once a year or something like that, that there's still be an engagement of the willingness of the person receiving the feedback and how much that makes it easier to receive. So first of all, I want to hear if you have any response to this, if what I'm saying resonates for you.
It does, because I found that even in a situation like this, it's kind of chartering new territory because we're more like colleagues than, as you said, reporting to one another. But it did resonate quite a bit with me what you said.
Great. So what I would like to do now is divide you into groups of three. And then in the group, you can kind of like explore with each other for a few minutes. How would you literally talk to this person to see if she's available to receive feedback? What would you say? And then we will come back and explore it together. It's not really about taking turns. I envision it as brainstorming together. Okay, we'll come back together to take that step and see what arises when we practice it. Welcome back. And I first of all want to connect with Karen, since this is your situation. I'm curious how it was for you to do this brainstorming, if you learned anything from it that you'd like to share.
What I particularly learned from it was just the acknowledgement of the awkwardness of the situation. Because it was with a colleague and a colleague who was not in my department, that's something that we had talked about in our group, of acknowledging that awkwardness when asking about whether she was willing to receive feedback.
Great. I'm wondering if you or anyone else would like to just try out how you might say it. I'm not presuming that just because it's your situation, you necessarily would want to be the one trying. So you or anyone else, if you would like to give it a try, I will be this person and I will let you know how I'm affected by your words. You have the mic and you're welcome to try it out.
Okay.
Yes, so okay. I am this person. I'm this person. Hi.
Hi, Mickey. Hey, I was wondering if you might have a moment to get together later this afternoon. There's something that I'd like to share with you that I think you might find helpful. Would you be open to a little feedback?
Okay, so what happened to me is just a little bit of nervousness, and otherwise I'm feeling pretty okay, but just a little tightness. I'm like, oh, you're going to cream me for something.
Mm-hmm. I felt nervous too.
Yeah, these things are not easy.
Well, in most organizations that I've been in, feedback usually means get ready for some criticism, and so it's awkward.
I'm wondering how much of that you might be able to include in some way. Like, I'm remembering what Karen said about acknowledging the awkwardness, that might reduce some of the tension. So I'm wondering if either you or someone else would like to try again. Again, anybody would like to try? Karen, would you like to try? Go for it, Karen.
Okay. Hi, Mickey. This is a little awkward. I was wondering if you would be available, if you're open to talking a bit about the use of this archival collection and receiving some feedback.
Thank you. So what happened to me is when you said this is a little awkward, it did soften me a little bit. It was very helpful for me when you gave me the context about the use of the archival, because I know what you're talking about. I have the context. When Lorraine gave her line, I didn't know what was even happening, so that was part of what felt a little tense for me. Like, oh, what are you going to talk to me about? And what is interesting is I'm really... can't remember who it was that said this, that the word feedback almost always connotes negative and connotes criticism. So I am wondering if perhaps we can unpack the word and just talk specifically about what you want to do and name the purpose. You know, like I'm thinking of, for example, saying, hi, well, I'm going to reverse it and speak to you as if it's you. Hi, Karen. You know, I'm wondering if you are available to talk a bit about the use, you know, later or now or whatever, about the use of the archival room, because I want to share with you how it was for me so we can learn how we can work with this together in a way that works for both of us. Something like this. It was a little too many words. But do you see what I mean? It's kind of like when I say what the purpose is, it's less likely to sound like I'm about to criticize.
I'm wondering from what you said as well, if another way to say that would be say something like how asking if she's available to talk about it, because in ways that it can work for both of us, and that there are things that I may be able to tell her that will actually support her. That was one of the issues.
I love that. Because if you say it like this and you don't include the word feedback, then I am much more relaxed as the person receiving it. Thank you. I'm really kind of like humbled on all of our behalf by how much care it requires to do things in a way that really attends to everyone's heart. and how often we do things in a habitual way and leave a little trail of like, oop, either inside us or others or both. So thank you, Karen, for this step so far. And I want to see if anyone has any questions about what we've done so far before we move to the next step. If so, please press 1. Questions or comments?
I'm wondering if the rule of thumb would be really good to have the shortest amount of words possible, but with clarity.
I like the way that you said it, yeah. As soon as possible to give the person a sense of what it is that we want to do and why. Yes. Thank you. Okay. So then if any of you look at the handout, you will have noticed that the second step that I'm recommending is inviting the person to provide feedback to self. This is a step that to me is relevant more in the context of kind of like a formal feedback session where we're looking more at an overall experience in the relationship rather than at the specific thing, like the situation that Karen brought up. It would be, and when I am trying to imagine asking this person to provide feedback to herself when she doesn't even know what is going on or that there is feedback, it seems a little bit of a stretch for me. Although I can imagine asking her, you know, what her experience was like of going to the archival room and getting the information that she wanted, which is a little bit different from giving feedback to herself. I'm curious if anyone has any comments on this. The reason I am thinking it's very useful to do in a formal kind of feedback relationship is because to invite the person to reflect on their own performance of whatever the piece is that the feedback is about can sort of a little bit diminish the sense of power where I'm the boss and I'm telling you how it is. It turns it more into a collaborative experience, which is what I ultimately want. I want the feedback process to ultimately be a shared discovery rather than I'm telling you what it is and what to do, goodbye. And that fits more within that context and not in this one. So I'm curious if anybody has any comments about that, whether it makes sense or not. And again, I will ask Karen first if this is resonating for you, what I'm saying.
I did resonate with what you're saying because I don't know how I would invite this person, let's call her Kathy, to provide feedback for herself. And further about this, Mickey, this second point is still kind of confusing to me. I understand it within a formal feedback situation, but are there situations more informally where you do that, and how do you do that?
So, for example, I do a lot of feedback giving when I teach people. So, for example, I can give people feedback on just practicing empathy, let's say. Depending on the situation, there are many times when I say, okay, how did you like what you did? What did you like in what you did? What did you not like in what you did? Before I say anything about what I did or didn't like. That's an example. I think it works when we both know what the context is and there is an established agreement that there is feedback that is going to happen. And the relationship is one where there is some sense of authority. And I mean authority not so much in the sense of structural power, but more in the sense of leadership, where somebody is looking to the person who is giving the feedback as someone who has some knowledge, experience, relevant perspective to offer feedback. And all of that does not exist in your relationship with Kathy. Did what I just say help clarify? Was the example useful enough?
It helped quite a bit, yes.
I must say that as we are having this conversation, I am learning a lot about how much formal power creates invisible, implicit, I'm not coming up with the right word, the only word that comes to mind is permission for people to say or do things because the context of the relationship is structured in such a way that it's expected almost. And how, if that is not the case, how much more complex things are. And similar things apply, like if you facilitate a group, you can, quote-unquote, get away with saying things that if you're a member of the group, people would be really upset with you if you said them. So I'm really taking it in, seeing this distinction. Is there anything else you want to say in this moment? Otherwise, I'll open it to others.
Just that I really appreciated very much what you said, because I think that that is the delicacy of this. When there's not some kind of structure, it is a bit of a dance.
Yes, it's almost like when the structure is there, you don't need so much skill because the structure already sets up something in place. And here you have to navigate every moment of it completely with just the human-to-human level. Thank you. Okay, I am now going to go to the heart of the feedback giving, which is the feedback itself, and then focus on basically there is several components here that support the feedback in being useful to the other person. The first one is to make it very concrete and specific so that the person knows exactly what you're talking about. In a situation like the one with Karen, this would not be an issue. In this case, because the extent of the relationship is so limited in terms of what you want to give feedback about, it would be very unlikely that you would say something that wouldn't be concrete because it's a one incident. On the other hand, if this is a formal feedback session, there can be so much ease in sloppily getting into vague generalizations. You know, like, you're really good with cutting is a vague generalization. It doesn't really give the person useful information that they can hang their learning on. So that's one aspect of it. And second aspect of it is to express why this matters. What is the significance of the actions that you just provided? Why is it an issue? Why does it work or why does it not work? That's the second bit. And the third bit is offering suggestions for what to do in the future. And this, again, is one of those places where there's a lot of delicacy, which is the difference between suggestions and commands. If the suggestion is a command, you lose the collaboration. So it is important to really make the fullness of clarity that this is the beginning of a search for something that works rather than the end of it. This is one of the things that often happen in traditional command and control places, is that people are so afraid of feedback because they're going to be given a criticism that is not substantiated by anything. They're not going to be told why it matters. They're going to be told what to do in ways that they cannot say anything about and which don't actually tell them what to do. So it's kind of like something that everyone dreads. I would like to move towards practicing again, and I think that we need to hear just a little bit more from you, Karen, so people can meaningfully engage with how they would give the feedback, because at least I don't have enough information about what the feedback is to be able to engage with how to say it. So could you say more about what the specific is for you.
The first part of the feedback had to do with the fact that my colleague, Kathy, is aware that I oversee this collection of information and items, and that she had not told me that she was going into this room to begin doing a project in it, which involved moving things, taking things out, bringing information.
Okay, great. I have a sense that is enough. So I am very pleased with information that Karen gave, because you now all know what happened. And what I want you to do is go back into your small group and think about what you want to say to her in terms of what she did. And you might need to make it up a little bit. That's okay. And then other important thing is why this matters. Why this matters that this happened. As you engage with this, again, remember to say both the specific observation of what it is that Kathy did, then also really be able to express why this matters. What is the significance of this? Then we'll come back and take up the next part. Welcome back. I once again want to check in first with Karen. Hi, Karen. How was it to explore this?
It was great. I feel like we could have spent more time talking about it, certainly. I really felt like we were unpacking it and really looking at how best to say it so Kathy would receive it.
Thank you. I am just thrilled to hear this, because I am so confident that if people who provide feedback could ask themselves that question repeatedly, that already creates that bridge, because then they put themselves to some degree in the shoes of the other person. And that starts changing the relationship, just that fact. So I'm really delighted that's where you went. I would like to see if you or anyone else want to try out expressing, assuming that, you know, we already went through the phase of where Kathy said, sure, I'm happy to hear. If anybody would like to experiment with how you might say it, either Karen or anyone else. Karen, would you like to get some practice with this?
Yes, I'll give it a try. So, Kathy, when I came into the archival room yesterday, I was surprised to see you there, because I didn't know that you were working in that space. And as you know, I'm responsible for it. So I wanted to talk with you a bit about it. One of the things is that I may have information that you can use in the project you're working on, if I had known about it, and if I do know about it, I could offer that to you and make, hopefully, your project even more complete than it was. I get a little bit lost, Mickey, with this.
Great. Are you open to feedback now?
Yes.
And where did you get lost and why?
I just kind of didn't know where I was going after a certain point. I felt like I kind of didn't get off on it as clearly as I wanted to. And I wasn't sure if I was jumping too quickly into wanting to ask her to, if she would want to work with me in this way by informing me of when she would be working there and how I could help her in that. I just got kind of lost.
I am really thrilled by what is coming through, because one of the ways that we have been trained is that when we talk to another person, when we get any kind of discomfort, we think about, oh, how can I say it more clearly, or what do I need to explain more, or whatever. And we rarely think about how can I get the other person involved in this moment to move through this piece. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, even something as simple as if you say, so, Kathy, I've said a lot and now I feel a little lost, so I just want to check with you if what I've said so far makes sense to you. Even something simple like this moves you through that moment of awkwardness. Do you see that?
Yes, that's great.
And almost every moment affords that option, and it's so non-habitual that so many people don't think about it. In fact, I would almost venture to say that when you feel lost, probably part of what's happening is you are intuitively sensing that you need something from the other person to keep the connection, except that you don't know how to do that because that's not usually where we go. So it's almost like our awkwardness could be a signal like, okay, what do I want now from the other person to help us move forward? How does that sound?
That feels really, really right on to me, because my experience, as you were saying that, was that I realized that I was not truly looking at this as a collaborative thing. I was approaching it as that I needed to come up with what it was and with a suggestion in that. So somehow in the process of when I was giving it, I was losing sight that I was speaking to a person. I really, really appreciate what you said.
I am loving working with you, Karen, because I have such a sense exactly of some collaboration between us. I'm giving you input, and then you are moving it through your own experience, and you come back with something that then supports us in the next step. It's really a delight. Thank you so much. Do you know what I'm talking about, that experience of us going back and forth?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So I want to pause for a second and see if there are any questions or comments on what we've done so far from anyone.
Yes, I just wanted to just give you some appreciation for some of the comments that you just made about staying engaged with the other person, because I am a lay leader in a religious community, and it's very common for us to be asked to give guidance, which isn't exactly the same thing as feedback, but it's very similar. And it's so easy for people to get kind of on their high horse and go on and on saying things that are very meaningful to the speaker, but without really connecting to what meaning,
mm-hmm.
what value that contributes to someone else. And that's very important to me, and I'm trying now to do more of that, to be more engaged in that way.
Yeah, that is so, so key. Doesn't matter what the nature of the formal relationship is. If we don't manage to establish a full relationship, we diminish the possibility of learning for everyone. I'm glad that this is helping you too. Anyone else? Questions or comments?
Just listening to these conversations, I'm getting the sense that, you know, when I think of giving and receiving feedback, it's different from what I'm hearing in these conversations, which I would describe more as collaborative conversations. So when I think of giving feedback, it would have been something like, you know, I didn't remember you're checking in with me about it, Kathy, or I don't know, something like that, you know. That's maybe
yeah.
a jackal way of saying it, but using the term giving feedback, that's feeling almost like an old paradigm description of what we're doing. What we're doing is to be much more advanced and collaborative, and I would just give it different language to describe it.
What a lovely puzzle. I just want to add to what you're saying that while all of this is true, I always want to keep my sight on the fact that I do have feedback to give. I want the experience to be collaborative, and it's still initiated by me having feedback that I want to give. I can easily get lost in the juiciness of the collaboration and then ultimately not give the feedback.
Yeah, okay. So that's coming.
We have already been giving the feedback. The fact that it feels collaborative is great. I'm just saying that it's not an either-or. It's not okay. Like I either give you feedback or we have a collaborative process. It's both at once. It's a collaborative way of giving feedback. So it's kind of like I'm holding two intentions at once. And I can forget about one. If I forget about the collaborative aspect, then I fall into the old way of giving feedback. This is what you did. And in fact, I am veiling it, but I think that it was wrong, you know. And if I lose sight of giving feedback, I can be in some kind of like a smoothing, lovely, delightful, collaborative process without delivering the message. And there are people, I'm sure that all of you have had very nice bosses at one point or another that were so caught up in being nice and chummy with you that they didn't actually provide you supervision. They didn't provide you guidance. They didn't provide you feedback. They didn't give you information about how you could do your job because that was a little too conflictual. Do you see my point? Have you had those experiences?
Absolutely. Yeah, so this is good because it's challenging my listening skills. I'm trying to listen really carefully for both the collaborative language and for the hardcore feedback inside the message. So it's a good practice.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it.
Thank you. So let's see, what is the feedback that you've heard so far in what Karen said? What's the observation and why does it matter?
Well, I've heard so far that, well, she was surprised to come upon Kathy there in the archives yesterday, and that she's, you know, she's the one that's responsible for the materials, and so she was caring about, you know, I'm speaking from my little group, so I'm having trouble remembering which conversation was which, because in my little group, it was important that everybody have easy access to the materials and there be a protocol. But I don't think I can totally remember this last.
Doesn't matter. As long as you keep your eyes on, until you have delivered this message, you're not done. So the collaborative process is designed so that the delivery of the message is most likely to succeed. Because when you set up an authoritarian process, the channels of receiving the feedback are going to be narrower. That is the key here, is the joining of the two for effectiveness. It's not for niceness. Thank you. I'm really appreciating this added dimension. Any other questions or comments from anyone?
Yes, I have a question. This part, expressing why this matters, can that sometimes be for the sake of the learning of the person that we're addressing, what kind of impact their behavior makes on other people so they can really learn to change that in a way that gets them the results they want? That's often the kind of feedback that I want to give, and it's very difficult to give because it so often sounds like criticism. But for me, it's so valuable to be able to do that.
Yes. That is exactly the fundamental meaning of feedback, is let me tell you the effect that your actions had on the environment. This is what a feedback loop is in nature. So part of the, as I see it, the tragedy of modern human life is that we have closed off feedback loops. We did it both interpersonally and systemically so that people and organizations don't have the information about the effect of their actions, and therefore there's no learning that can happen and no improvement. So what we are looking at here is what are the skills that are going to enable us to give people the information about the effect of their actions in a way that is least likely to sound to them like criticism.
That would often mean then really knowing or trying to understand what's important for that person.
If you can add that, that would be great.
What they really value, what they really want, but may not be achieving in their relations with other people. Okay.
Yeah, that's bringing you into what we're going to go to next in a moment, which is how do we support the other person by understanding where they are. Because if we are truly looking at the collaborative process where the loop is really closed, just delivering the message doesn't mean that the message was received. And what are the things that can help the message get received? One of them is to really explain why it matters to us. And the other, if we know the other person, to tie it to potential goals that they have. Absolutely. I like that twist. Thank you. Okay. There's one more person with a question, and there's still one piece that I hold from the exchange that we had.
I'm finding this helpful in pulling together understandings that I have in other areas of MVC and this. It's like another way of making a request. Finding this session tonight to kind of pull it so that it's coordinated rather than going off and feeling like I have to be in one world if I'm giving feedback and in a totally different one if I'm offering empathy.
Yes. Thank you. I love it most when we get into where the whole thing is a dance. Thanks. So, Karen, the one piece that I wanted to say is I'm not exactly sure yet how to address it. I want to tell you what it was when you said to me, when I was Kathy and you were saying that you were surprised when you got into the room and found me. I knew that as Kathy, in that moment, I would say something to you like, but my manager told me to go there. So something in the exchange triggered my defensiveness. First of all, I want to know if you can see why it might.
Yes, and it did. That's exactly true.
Oh, so you actually had that conversation with her?
Something like this, yes.
So I am wondering if it might alleviate that if you said something like, I know that, you know, your manager told you to do this project, and that's not the point that I'm talking about is not about your having access to the room. I wanted you to know that I was surprised not to know about it.
Yes. I was surprised not to know about it. That's it.
Yeah. Because then you're already giving her the acknowledgement that she did something that followed the procedure that was given to her, and you're just trying to expand it. Okay. So I want to move to the next piece, which is about being with the person that is receiving the feedback and being kind of like available for the possibility that there will be challenges that will interfere with the person receiving feedback. So let's do a quick brainstorm. What are some of the things that can make it challenging for someone to receive feedback?
When the person feels criticized or when they need appreciation.
So the person wants appreciation and they are hearing what you're saying as criticism. What else? This is beyond the specific person that we're talking about. It's not specifically about Kathy.
I would say that in receiving feedback, I've seen people go to the extremes of heaviness or lightness. And what I mean by that is heaviness in terms of feeling shame or lightness in terms mm-hmm. of just brushing it off or denying it.
Yeah, and the shame is definitely, shame or self-judgment is definitely an issue in the feedback. And sometimes I think that the lightness or the brushing it off is almost like coming from the same place, is trying to fend it off, deflect it so that you don't have to go to a place of self-judgment. Does that resonate for you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, I think that a person's general level of stress, you know, how full their plate is already, often determines how graciously they might receive feedback. If they have a lot of resilience, that's one thing. If they don't have a lot of resilience and they're highly stressed, then that's another thing altogether.
Yeah, and that could be either about the content of the feedback or even specifically when you offer suggestions and they're already stressed, then don't tell me that I have to add one more thing that I need to think about or do. Yeah. Thank you.
What about some sense that the way that they were doing it, they see that solution working?
Yeah. They have a perception that's different from yours. And from their perception, what they're doing makes total sense, which is different from defensiveness. It's a cousin, but it's different. Thank you.
Mine is very similar, disputing the circumstances that we describe, that they perceive in a very different way, yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say that they're two different things. There can be a difference in the actual observation. In a situation like the one that we just looked at with Kathy, it's very simple. But, you know, to give you an example, some weeks ago I got an email from someone who says, please don't call me until after 4. I've received already several calls from you, and it's difficult for me because I'm in a meeting. And I hadn't actually called that person at all. It was because I turned off my caller ID. This person assumed that because they got a private call, it meant that it was I. So sometimes even what happened can be under dispute. And sometimes there can be an agreement about what happened and a different interpretation of what it means. So, yes, thank you.
If the person giving the feedback is not in a neutral place and in a skillful place, the other person can pick up the uncomfortableness as judgment or criticism.
Absolutely.
Or it can trigger them into shame.
Yes. And there's probably several other things that can happen. So the key thing is when you are giving feedback, and again, we started talking about it already when Karen brought it up, that in their group they talked about how will the person receive it. If we have that orientation, then moment by moment, as we're expressing something to the person, we look at them, we listen. We listen to them, we listen to our intuition, and at any point in time we can stop and say, hey, is this hard for you to hear? Or is this different from how you remember it? Or something that allows the other person to have their experience and connect with it. So that's the next piece of the feedback, is how do we develop that consciousness and what do we do in those moments? I'm trying to kind of like imagine how to work with this in this moment. So let's say that Karen is giving me this feedback and she didn't remember to say the tweak that we did earlier where I suggested that she say, I know that your boss asked you to do this and that's not what the point is. The point is that I was surprised not to know. If she forgot to do it and she just said, you know, I was surprised to see you there, and Kathy stops her and says, but I was there with complete permission. My boss told me to go there. I was doing my job. How can you respond to that in a way that acknowledges and empathizes instead of explaining? Because if you already said that that's not it, you can prevent that trigger from happening. Once it happens, acknowledging it would be more important usually to people than trying to backtrack and explain. So I'd like to suggest that you take just a couple of minutes in your group to think about how you might respond to this. And this is just an example. There could be many of them. I want to distinguish between kind of like empathic presence in the moment and the more complex process that we will look into next week, which is to really work out with the other person significant challenges. That we will do next session. This is just to keep the flow of communication in the moment. So it's kind of like just a little bit of acknowledgement in the moment. Let's get into the group for a few minutes, and then we'll have a little final conversation, and that will bring us to closure. Welcome back. I want once again to connect with you, Karen, and see what emerged in your group this time.
In my group, it seemed that there was a little confusion about how far to go or how much to say in this. We spoke about that.
Can you unpack that a little?
In responding to Kathy saying, my boss told me to come here, it's sounding, what I imagine, is sounding defensive about receiving the feedback. It was a little confusing about whether to just stay with that with her and either, you know, saying it sounds like, you know, she's needing understanding or she's not feeling trusted and so wanting somehow to acknowledge that or give more than that. We were just a little confused about that.
What would be more than that?
We then began to move into continuing the feedback and even perhaps beginning to say what she could do.
Thank you. I'm appreciating that, you know, pinpointing this piece that can be confusing because, again, it's a different thought where that question about collaborative process and there's a message that I want to give comes in, which is in the moment when somebody says, but my boss told me to do it, in that moment, she's not available to hear. It's very clear, right?
Yes.
So if I, in that moment, continue with my feedback, I'm wasting my time. This is true not just of feedback. Anytime another person is defensive, or in self-judgment, or in any way less than present, my continuing to speak is a waste of resources because there's no one there to hear. So in shifting my attention to her and to the acknowledgement, I want to shift it just enough so that she will come back to present. And then I can continue with what my original intention was. Does this address your confusion?
It does for me, yes.
So then the acknowledgement can be as simple as, oh, Kathy, I get a sense that you want acknowledgement for the fact that you came here based on your boss asking you to do this. Is that true? And she says, yeah, na 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 na, and you acknowledge it again, and it probably is fine. And then you just say, great, I regret that I didn't acknowledge it up front, and wondering if you're now open to me continuing, and that can be enough. Of course, life is unexpected, because it can be that you give the acknowledgement, and then she says, you know, it's always like this. I follow instructions as best I can, and there's always someone that picks on me. You see what I mean? You take your cues from what happens in front of you.
What I'm hearing as well is that while taking the cues, you're keeping it, what I hear, keeping it still very kind of simple and not getting too distracted either while being present with the two intentions together.
Yes, one of the things that sometimes happens to people who learn NVC is they become so enamored with empathy that they get lost in the sweetness of the empathic connection and cannot discern when it's enough for the moment. Because when I have a purpose at hand, I'm not trying to offer someone a therapy session or to heal their pain from their childhood. I'm just trying to give them acknowledgement, to hear them, to offer empathy in the moment sufficient to come back to the purpose at hand. So thank you for bringing up this confusion. I'd like to hear from anyone else what came up in your group or any comments or questions that you have.
OK, Hi, Mickey. What you just said about basically sometimes to remember we're not here for a therapy session or to tend to someone's pain and not to become enamored. And what is that just enough empathy so that we can make progress towards why we're here? Whether it's now or later during this training, I would love more information and practice on how to know when it's just enough, because that's something that I run into quite a bit.
Thank you. One of the indications is you can kind of like sense that there is a settling. Sometimes you see it in the body. There's like a deeper breath. Sometimes you see it by the person essentially having nothing more to say in a certain moment. And that is an indication that everything that they needed to be heard about has been heard about. You're basically attuning yourself to a pause, a parking place in where the person is. And if you're not sure, you ask, did I hear all that you wanted me to hear, and can I go back now to my purpose?
How to do that transition without seeming abrupt or insensitive?
You actually divide it into two parts. I put it all together. My preference is to divide it, to ask the question, just the question, did I hear everything you wanted me to hear? And when the person says yes, then you say, can I now go back to what I was trying to say before?
That's helpful. Thank you.
Because I can see that if you put the two of them together, the second one can cancel the first. The person can go, why are you asking me this? You just want to go to your purpose. I'll tell you yes. You know?
Thank you.
Thank you. And other questions can be about any part of the process. I know that some of you worked and prepared in some other way. While people are thinking, I want to check in with you, Karen, and wondering if you feel more prepared to go back to Kathy and complete this conversation.
I definitely do. I really appreciate all that you've said, Mickey, and everyone's comments. It's extremely helpful.
Thank you.
Going back to the exercise that you gave us in the last session, where there was the three steps where we find the thought that expresses the trigger and look at the thought and see what's important to you, and finally connect emotionally with it. I found that really, really helpful, and I had an opportunity to use it, and it was very powerful, and it really helped add a lot of clarity for me around the situation at work. And so I want to thank you for that and remind everyone about that exercise, because it seemed so simple when I read it, but when I actually went through the process, I was really, really surprised at what came out.
Oh, thank you so much. Before we part, I want to say that the part that we didn't get to today, and I want to do it next time, is the part about offering suggestions. I am really pleased with how deeply we looked at what we did look. So, and I'm glad that we have several weeks, so I allowed myself to be leisurely and go in depth, knowing that we have more weeks. So next time, I would like to pick up with the same situation, looking at the part that has to do with suggestions. Other than that, I would just like to hear from one or two people. What is your take home from today? How were you nourished today?
Well, I'm excited about all of this, because being a spiritual person, there are kind of taboos on giving feedback and work on your own stuff and change your own mind and don't be positional and all of that. So having a structure that's gracious and makes sense, big context in which to value myself, which had been severely lacking.
I am delighted to hear this. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.